Now, I want to talk about tonight. It's amazing that Rabbi Liviam has an amazing story that he told us, that they literally did Tevilat Kelim on the grill. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. You showed, one of your friends was convinced to do Tevilat because of the shiur that we gave. That's unbelievable. Okay, as a little cute, as a hint that you gave him. It's very nice. Okay. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that Klei Se'uda, perfect timing. The Gemara says that even new kelim should require tevilah. Brand new kelim that were never used for food cooking. They have no taste absorbed inside of the kelim, and yet you still need to take it to the mikveh. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that has nothing to do with usage for food. When I bought it from a goy, that maybe he used it for food. Why do you stop at things that are used for food? The scissors that you use to cut shears, that to shear wool. To do anything that's not food related should also be chayav, says the Gemara. Zuzah disarbala, shears should also require tevilat kelim. We don't eat wool, but maybe the scissors used to cut it should also require, says the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, no. Famous words, klei se'uda amurin ba parasha. The Torah only describes the mitzvah of tevilat kelim with respect to klei se'uda, utensils used for food preparation. It says, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, anything that's used on the fire, kol davar asher yavo ba'mayim, things that are used with water, for food. Things that are not related to food preparation, not to be confused with sorchei se'uda, but rather klei se'uda. If it's not klei se'uda, it does not require tevilat kelim. Tonight, there are two parts. The rules of tevilat kelim, what are the parameters? What's considered klei se'uda? In general principles. And then the nitty gritty is part two. Is a vegetable peeler chayav in tefillah? Is a toaster chayav in tefillah? Is a barbecue grill chayav in tefillah? And we'll get through as many of them as we can, Be'ezat Hashem. Obviously, we can't get through every single thing they sell on Amazon, but we'll get the ideas down. And there are lots of chidushim that come through different examples, and the application will help you when you are either building your bayit, Be'ezat Hashem, with Amazon registries, or at your friend's house and hinting to him what requires tevilah, what doesn't, what requires the beracha, what doesn't, or Be'ezat Hashem, as the kids keep on buying stuff, you know, what needs to go to the mikveh first. My son has a little, I don't know where he got it, I mean, my parents' house somewhere, a little metal pot from a kitchen set. A little metal pot. And one time I saw him putting food inside of it. Does it require tevilah kelim? It's a toy. You have to know what the halacha is, as kids are crazy. Just like for Pesach, cleaning is crazy. So too, she'elot will come, and it's a mitzvah, Be'ezat Hashem, that we should be more acquainted with, so that we can, on the fly, know what are the general ideas to think about when it comes to applying it to specific cases. So part number one, that this is not related to food usage. Even if you never used it before, it's chayav in tefillah. And even if it's used with cold foods, it's also chayav in tefillah. It has nothing to do with the temperature of the food. If it's related to food preparation, it's chayav. And I'll just give the one sentence. What does that mean, food preparation? What does that mean? It means it touches food, either in a process that makes food edible, such as cooking or baking, or it's used to serve / eat food in a meal. You bring it to the table. That's basically it. Prepare food to make it edible. You know, like you're cooking the food in the pot. The challah board is at the table. That's called seuda. So if the challah board is metallic or it's glass, it's going to be chayav in tefillah. What about the knife of the challah board? We'll get there also.
I told with my challah board.
Yeah? Because it has a glass thing?
It's metal.
It's metal. Perfect. Okay, fine.
After the shiur, I went and told
with it. Okay, fine. There you go. But you were thinking before that you had a svara why you didn't tovel it before. So okay, you have to klei seuda. You have to think about the different svarot. We'll get there. Maybe it's not chayav.
So it's used for cooking food and used for
reason. Oh, I got there. Used to either make food edible through a process such as cooking.
Yeah.
It could be not cooking. Let's say you have salad, lettuce that you can't eat until you cut it. You cut it and then you eat it. So then good. Chayav it's vila. The scissors also. It doesn't have to be cooking per se. Yeah.
Shears to like shear off like sheep.
You're not eating that though. Are you saying In order to eat the sheep's meat, I have to shear off the wool. Fantastic. How early on in the cooking process do we say that? Good, good. We'll get to that. B'zai Hashem. But in general, preparing food, making it edible. How many steps before edible? Fantastic question. The shechita knife. What about the shechita knife? The skinning. Great question. Good. Good. You answered your question, Aryeh?
You said for making food edible and for serving food?
Serving food. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now, that's the one sentence. Now we're going to get into breaking that up into different parts. Touching food. So what Aryeh was talking about before, his friend's barbecue. There's a difference between grates and the grill. I didn't realize until I got married what a stove was. My mother never made me cook anything. But just to be clear, you have these things in your kitchen that you turn a knob and a fire comes out, right? And there are these black things that you put the pot on top of it and it stays there. That's called a stovetop. And Tomer's like, I cook every night. Good, good. I didn't realize for a long time. But that's called a stovetop. And the grates are the black things you put the food on top of. We always talk about grates. Pesach time, do I have to kosher my grates for Pesach? No, because the food is always burnt on top of it, even if it falls on top. Because the grates, essentially a tripod, never touch the food, the grates never need to go to the mikveh. You move into an apartment, you bought a house, comes with an oven, comes with a stovetop, you don't have to take the grates on the stovetop to the mikveh. Because they don't touch the food ever. At the same time, you have a barbecue, and you put the food directly on the grill, so the grill is chayav with the beracha tevila. As it's metal, it's used for food preparation, you put the food on the grill, it becomes edible, literally, through cooking, or barbecuing, or whatever. Mazal tov, chayav tevila. That's called touching food. Yeah. Right. So you're saying sometimes by accident it falls on and you quickly take it off and put it back or something like that. Patur. We go the klal gadol of the Pri Chadash. We'll get to more length later, but the klal gadol of the Pri Chadash is every kli goes by rov tashmisho. Whatever the rov of its usage is what you used is whether or not you have to take it to the mikveh. Just like when it comes to hechsher kelim, you go by rov. Is this usually used on the fire? Is it usually used on the water? Kli rishon, kli sheni, everything. So too, when it comes to tevilat kelim, you go by the rov. Most of the time, this doesn't touch food in its cooking process, patur. Even if it does sometimes. Most of the time it doesn't. So it continues that way also. Good. Yeah, please.
Let's say something is used and the food that it handles is always has a deem of esh, like garlic or ginger or chilies or something.
You're saying davar harif.
Let's say like one of those press grinders or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? That you put the garlic clove inside and you press it.
Yeah, of course. It makes it easier to get the garlic clove out. Right.
That never handles cooked food.
Right. So it doesn't have to handle cooked food. It has to handle food that is now going to be edible because it handled it.
Right.
So we'll get to Bezat Hashem food processing, but is your point about the harifut of the food?
Yeah, exactly.
No, so harifut doesn't matter here. Doesn't matter here. Rov tashkisho means it touches the food, doesn't touch the food. And most of the time, it doesn't touch the food most of the time. And that's it. Nothing to do with the type of food. The type of food you use, it doesn't matter.
But that food has a deed of esh. Like if you use the
chop
of garlic with a knife.
Right, right. So it'll be
the
tam will come out again. Yeah, yeah. It's mechayim etim on the tam that's old already in the tam pagum. Yeah, it's not relevant here. Not relevant here. But hechsher kelim is a fantastic topic to work very hard on to understand. But right now, it's not relevant. No. Good question. Fine. Now, that was touching food. How far back do we go? Is Rabbi Kashizadeh asked, you know, the shears, you can't eat the lamb until you shear off all of its wool. You can't eat a cow until you shecht it. The shechita knife should also require tevilah kelim. So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Only the things that actually get it from inedible to edible require tevila. The shechita knife will not get it to edible at all. Shecht it in an animal, it's still not edible, and the knife isn't even usable because it has blood over it, all over it, and you have to wash it now. So shechita knife, Shulchan Aruch says, is patur. There's a whole Ramah about this, we'll get to, but the Ramah says chayav, without a beracha. We'll get to Be'ez HaShem. The idea is, if it doesn't actually make it edible, it does not require tevila kelim. There's a lot of... Huh?
That's lemaseh.
For Sfaradim, for sure. For Ashkenazim, the Ramah says to be machmir, and there's three ways to interpret why the Ramah says to be machmir. And then some Sfaradim say, why not? Listen, you're going to mikveh anyway, take this also. Rav Ben Chaim says, take the shechita knife anyway. What's the big deal? But for sure it is a consideration of, if it's already patur and you're doing this a chumrah, you better not say a beracha on this. So that's important to keep in mind. If it's not actually going to make it edible, it's not going to be chayav in tefillah. And on that point, the Ramah says like this, that really you don't have to take your shechita knife to the mikveh, but you should. And then the Ramah gives a few more examples. He says, let's say I'm going to make matzah. I'm going to knead my dough, and I'm going to spread out the dough into nice circular matzahs on a metal tray. It's not going to make it edible, this metal tray, no matter what. It can stay there forever. It's not going to change anything. But the Ramah says that those should go to the mikveh. Right? The Ramah says here that... So those don't have to go to the mikveh, but the shechita knife should.
Without a beracha.
So which one is it? The Ramah says on one hand, shechita knife is not going to make it edible, patur, just like Shulchan Aruch, but you should still go to the mikveh. But for these matzah kneading, trays, patur the gamre. So now this launches the achronim into a machloket.
Aren't those used in the process of cooking?
They are used right before the process of baking, but they're not in the process. The trays are not what you put in the oven. The trays are something you just put the dough on to spread it out before you put it in. Like a cutting board. Cutting board you use for all sorts of things. It's not just for...
Like a baking bowl, like a mixing bowl.
I thought that's chayav in mikvah.
All those things, but we're talking about things that have unique usage. The mixing bowl, the cutting board... You're going to use for all sorts of foods. Some of them will be ready to eat right now, and others will not. But once you're using it for more than one food, so one or the other will be mechayev on tevilat kelim, right?
Ready to eat can be considered a cold food also, or ready
like
to
a
eat?
Tomato, let's
say. Yeah, even a cold food is ready to eat, yeah.
Like if I cut a tomato, it's ready to eat food.
Yeah, yeah.
So that or needs to go in the mikvah.
Cutting board should go to the mikveh, yeah.
But that's because you're also cutting ready-to-go food.
Yeah. Things that are basically ready to go once you cut it.
If you would never use it theoretically for a ready-to-cook food, you wouldn't have to...
That's this thing, yeah. The Ramah says the dough is spread out on this metal thing, and then you take it and put it in the oven on a different thing. Patur, yeah, area.
Maybe what's special about like a shechita knife is that like it makes the food, like it makes it kosher. Like,
right.
From like not being kosher to like being kosher.
Right. So, is that the only good thing about the shechita knife, or is there a bad thing about the metal board, metal tray?
It's not like imperative to make it kosher.
So I'll take the word kosher and I'll change it to edible. You don't need this metal thing at all to make it edible. Shechita is like pretty necessary in order to make it edible. I mean, it's along the way. But the metal board really does not have to be along the way at all. The shechita knife is pretty imperative. The Taz thinks that the Ramah is being machmir for anything that's along the way as a necessity. If it's not a necessity along the way to make it edible, patur. This is all Ashkenazi halacha, by the way. But it's important to know, because sometimes the Ben Ishai will say be machmir for the Ashkenazim. Sometimes the Zivchei Tzedek will say be machmir for the Ashkenazim. Sometimes Rav Avadi will scream at them for doing that. So you need to know, what are they trying to say? Where is it coming from? The Ben Ish Chai is machmir for this Ramah. So it's important to know where is it coming from and which interpretation. I think the Ben Ish Chai is machmir for this Ramah. So it's important to know where it's coming from. The Ben Ish Chai says you should take your shechita knife to the mikveh. Even though Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh mi she'omer, she'enot tzarech tevila, by a sakin shel shechita, a shechita knife, that yeshi shel omer doesn't mean that there's someone who says it, but we don't hold that way. It means that that's what we hold, it's just that there aren't that many people who talk about it. So there's somebody there who says, shechita knife is patur. And then the Ramah says, but still take it to the mikveh. So the Ben Ish Chai says, take it to the mikveh. That a beracha. And Rav Avadya is like, excuse me, Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it. What are you doing that for? So it's important that we follow the Shulchan Aruch. What are you adding chumras for? So, okay, the Ben Ish Chai was being machmir for the Ramah, not for the Shulchan Aruch. But it's important to know what's going on.
Let's say a person has like a basket of clean that they usually, like my wife, she accumulates clean before she goes to dip them. She doesn't just like get a spoon and go, you know?
Right.
So I hear a lot of clunking in the trunk sometimes.
Me too.
Let's say some items, it's understood. You do not say a bracha for this item, but you dip it. And then there's others that vadai, you say a bracha and you dip.
Right.
Is it better for a person to have a cheshbon and take all the items that don't require the bracha, dip them first, and then say the bracha and dip the other items? Or all in one basket?
It's the other way around. You should always say the bracha on the one that's chayav, and have in mind everything else, and take them all also. This whole idea of do tevilah without a beracha, with a beracha, don't do tevilah at all, why not just take everything to the mikveh?
Just dafka, don't say it on that item.
You don't say it on that item. Right. But you're saying people might make a mistake.
Right.
People might take this thing to the mikveh and say a bracha on it. So, in fact, this whole conversation about chayav, patur, chayav without a beracha is very much like a debate of which way should we go. Whenever there's a debate about taking something to the mikveh, shechita knife, there's a machloket here. What should we do? What's the big deal? Take it to the mikveh. No! The Yisur V'Heter of Ibn Ashkenazi says, if you start saying, take things to the mikveh, people will forget what requires the beracha and what doesn't. And they'll say, beracha levatalan something. So don't do it. Whatever the halakha is, tell them to do. That is not the accepted practice of any of the poskim.
What do you mean that's not the accepted practice?
Everybody says... everybody says just take it to the mikveh. What's the big deal? Don't say a beracha.
Uh-huh.
That's what I find everybody saying. Rav Avadya here doesn't say explicitly, you know, this is Yisur V'Heter, but he says, we hold like Shulchan Aruch. He's sticking it to the man. Fine. He's sticking it to the Ben Ish Chai. I'm going to tell you what not to do. You said to be machir, I'm saying no. But the etzem, you always find, even Shulchan Aruch says, on things that are safek, take another kli that's chayav v'vadai with it, say the beracha on that, and put them all in the mikveh together. Now, I was getting to this point. Very good. You brought it out. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
A total side note about it.
Yeah.
You have a couple things to dip.
Yeah.
You say the beracha on the first one.
Yeah.
Can you make a hefsek in between, have a phone conversation,
have a
bathroom and come back, or... It's one bracha the whole time.
Really, you're not supposed to be hefsek, but the other prototypes of this situation are bedikat chametz and shechita.
I know, that's crazy.
Bedikat chametz, you're not supposed to talk at all.
You're not supposed to say anything.
Right, but let's say you did, or let's say you have to go to someone else's house. Let's go to your car, go to the shul. You have in mind the beracha to cover everything, but if you talk, it's not mafzik. You're not going to say a new beracha. So, also by shechita, the shochet gets to the slaughterhouse in the morning. He says one beracha in the morning, ala shkita. He shachs all day.
Not supposed to talk the whole day.
But they talk. They talk in learning. They talk other things. But they said they take a lunch break. They call their wives. They still don't say. It's a big debate. Should they say one after lunch? Should they not? Better thing is not to talk about other things. But b'di'evit, if you did and you're still at the mikveh, you should just keep going without a beracha.
Why wouldn't they just say the bracha?
You can always do that if you want. You can always do that if you want. Yeah.
Being Kovei
Mitzvot, oh, beautiful, yeah, beautiful. Being Kovei Mitzvot in the house.
Before
you put up the Mitzvah, you're going to do numerous ones, don't talk. Beautiful, yeah. Yeah, that's very good. Okay, fine. So, now back to our point, the different interpretations of this Ramah are either, the Taz says, whatever's along the way, that's necessary along the way, do it. And the Shach thinks, no. What would you use this metal pan for? This metal tray for? Literally nothing. It's just a piece of metal. Not even a tray. It doesn't have handles. It's just a piece of metal. That's just flat, and you use it to smush some dough. A shechita knife. You can cut so many other things with a shechita knife. In potential, this metal thing has zero. in terms of food usage. The shita knife, you can do so many other things with it. It has so much potential. The shaf says, the Rama is saying, whenever there's potential, take it to the mikveh. Doesn't matter what you actually use it for. It has nothing to do with the foil. You're actually only using this for shechita. It doesn't matter. It's a knife. Knife should go to the mikveh.
What it's capable of doing.
Right. So you will find literally so many Ashkenazi kalim lists. Take this to the mikveh without a bracha. Take this to the mikveh without a bracha. Take this to the mikveh without a bracha. And parentheses, shaf. This shaf. So many things require tefillah without a bracha because of this. Because you could use this keli for something else.
It really requires, like, mamash.
There's so many lists. Yeah, look on the Star K, CRC, OU, Hameshu. I'm not saying everything. There are many things on those lists that are tefillah without a bracha because of this shaf. The shaf says, if it could be used for something else, tefillah without a bracha, that's what the Rama means. Whereas others say, like the Taz, no, as long as it's along the way. The Pri Chadash says, are you, and the Gras say, are you kidding me, Shach? This is not true. It has nothing to do with the potential. It's whatever you actually do with it. If you actually use it for food prep, to make it edible, chayav. If you don't, patur. And the Pri Toar, the Orachayim HaKadosh, or the Pri Toar, on Yoredeya also. And he says, it depends. If using this keli over and over again will make the food edible, so then you should take it to the mikveh. And if you won't, then you should not. Therefore, scissors used to cut salad. We're talking about salad that doesn't have to be cooked further. If it does have to be cooked further, then the scissors used to cut the greens are patur. Because it's along the way, unless you hold like the Taz, well, it's about the along the way.
But you would also be able to technically use this scissors for something else.
Oh, so it depends.
So according to
the Shach,
this would also
be for something else. So this is a whole debate of what the Shach meant when he talked about scissors. The Shach says scissors are patur. But wait a minute, well, aren't it possible for other things? So maybe the Shach meant scissors that can't be used for other things. Good. You're mechaven to like a whole masal matan in the Shach between the Pri Chadash and the Pri Torah. Amazing. Baruch Hashem. Good. Baruch Hashem. The Malach missed. You got that one. Baruch Hashem. So, the Pri Torah says the scissors that are used to cut salad that will be eaten raw, chayav v'tvila. Because it could be used, it's edible right now. Fine. So then, maybe those who say that scissors don't need it though, how inedible is salad if the salad, vegetables, whatever, can be eaten raw once you cut them? It's already pretty edible. How inedible is a tomato? Just bite into it. But you want to eat it cut. You want to slice it. An onion is pretty crazy. If you want to take a bite out of it, at least you would cut it once, right? Some old Persian babajums will take a bite right out of an onion. In Iran, they said hadama on onions. In America, they say shakol on raw onions. Okay.
They still say hadama.
Okay, some people underground, Persian babajums, will say hadama on raw onions. The idea is that if it's not a tikkun gadol, it's a very, very small tikkun. I'm just literally slicing it and then I'm going to eat it. There are those who say, even though this is the only step left until you eat it, it's also patur.
So,
tikkun gadol, I'm cooking raw chicken. It was raw, inedible. So far from edible, I put it in the oven 20 minutes later, an hour later, 2 hours later, whatever, it's edible.
Fish. You can have fish raw.
Ah, good question. But it's still a huge tikkun. There's raw salmon, cooked salmon. It's different worlds. Right? As opposed to, like, the tomato, you slice it, you don't. That's tikkun katan. So we'll talk more. Rav Moshe Feinstein, we'll talk about electronics in a different shiur. Electronics is its own shiur. But Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable chidush. You know, I sent a picture of a toaster. I sent two pictures of toasters. The pop-up toasters and the toaster oven, right? It's that big nafkamina. The toaster oven, bevadai, the grate requires tevilat kelim. You have to take the grate and put it in the mikveh, for sure. Rav Moshe Feinstein, because you can make that pizza in the picture in the toaster oven, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein has an unbelievable chidush about pop-up toasters. He says, is bread edible?
Yes.
Good. Why did you put your slice of bread in the toaster?
Oh, wow.
It tastes better. Chazak uvaruch. It tastes better. Okay, good. It's a relaxed fashion. You want to have your toasted bread. Very nice, right? But it's edible. What did you add? Rav Moshe says patur. Patur. That's called tikkun katan. We don't. No one holds like Rav Moshe. Not no one. I misspoke. He should be mochel me. No, I misspoke. Rav Schechter says.
That's called tikkun katan by Yom Tov also, right?
By what? Yom Tov.
Warming something up.
Is it tikkun katan? You're learning Beitza. I learned Beitza 3 years ago. I got it 4 years. I was dating my wife and I learned Beitza. It was mamash not. not nitpas. I'm sorry. Didn't count. It was also the key is there. I don't know. Maybe. It's a big blur. No, it's good. It's good. I mean, this is what Ashir is for. Rav Schechter always says, I'm not a rabbi, but Rav Schechter always says, I'm about to quote Rav Schechter also. But Rav Schechter always says, the Talmidim's job is to shlug up the Rebbe. So, okay, I'm not even a Rebbe. You can shlug me up also. It's fine. Good. So, shlug means to beat up. Yeah.
My wife always says, like, every time you say Hadran Alach, you mean something else. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Hadran Alach, Masechta Brachot, you said one day, like, oh, I can't wait to do this again. Hadran Alach, Masechta Shavuot, like, wow, it was so complicated. I can't wait to explore it again. Hadran Alach, Masechta Eruvim, I have to go back to do it.
It's gotta keep working on it. Yeah.
So anytime a person learns Torah, it's
Chazara. It's good. Baruch Hashem.
This is different.
Baruch Hashem. Like he got me the other day. Also, there was a very difficult sugya in Bava Kama I learned a couple years ago in Rosh Chodesh Shiur. I just remember like Charuta wasn't working out. Whatever. Like I just didn't get it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna leave it and forget it. Like last week, he asked me a question. It was like a Rashi in Chagiga that was quoting that Gemara Bava Kama. And I'm like, no way. This is Hashem's Musar that I didn't pay attention back then. It's crazy. anyway. So Rav Moshe Feinstein of Schechter says, and the toasters is highly questionable, and we'll prove from the bread knives very soon, if Be'ezrat Hashem, you can get to it, that why it's questionable. Fine. That basically is the idea. The general rules are touching food, right? Grills versus the grates. Rov Tashisho, this is usual. What's it primarily used for? How far back? It's a big machloket, little machloket. But then in that how far back conversation, the contrast between the shechita knife and these metal trays used for kneading dough led us to a grand, really strong debate about what are the principles of the Ramaz Chumrah. Is it because of anything along the way? Is it the potential that the Shach says? Or the Pri Chadash thinks, Tikkun Gadol versus Tikkun Katan, and whatever you actually use it for is going to be Koveya. Spreading out the dough is a tikkun katan. Put it, shita is a tikkun gadol. You made it kosher, right? That's a tikkun gadol. That's the pre-chadash. That's what I was trying to say. Good. Now let's move on to, and we spoke about why does it matter? Just do it anyway. So the Isur v'heter says, but doesn't seem to be the accepted position of the world, that if you tell people to take it to the mikveh, they might say a beracha. What we say is, okay, take it and take something else also. That's vaday chayav. Good. Go to John at store, buy a fork. Take it to the mikveh, take it home, use it. Good. Wonderful. Now, let's get to the examples. Whatever time we have left, we'll use for examples. Maybe we'll continue with the examples if we want another time. Now, let's do the easy questions, right? I'll go around. Five easy things. Pots and pans. Chayav etzvila or not? Bracha?
Yes.
Good. Cutlery? Chayav etzvila or not? Forks, knives, used at the table. Yes. Bracha? And made of metal?
Yes.
Good. Dish rack? Chayav etzvila? Is it used at the table? Is it used for food preparation? Does food touch it? No. Dish rack? Patur. Good. Rabbi Cohen once got the shayla. Rabbi, that's still with my dish rack. No. Patur. Countertop? What do you think?
No.
Is it used for food?
No.
Well, you do.
Sometimes. But
it doesn't touch, right? It doesn't touch. Good. It's like the grates. Kneading, we just talked about kneading dough, right? That was the Ramah.
Right.
The Ramah said kneading dough.
But you saw my on a piece of sheet metal. That's able to be 12 bells.
Right.
This is not. This is a huge piece of granite or a piece of wood, whatever.
Right.
Slab.
Right. Is granite chayav etzvila?
The ocean is taking you with it.
Is granite?
You're on the beginning.
Another question: Is it a metal countertop? Is it a glass countertop? It's patur anyway. Good, fine. Good. That was it. I only have four examples. My mistake. Okay. No. It's good. There are lots of issues with that example, but they still talk about it.
Marble doesn't need to.
No, it's stone. The question is glass glaze on top of it is just like China? I don't know, but it's built into the ground.
Kavua.
I need a house.
We spoke about China last time. But it wasn't so clear. I'm going to bleed out to read you that one. Huh?
Forget about everything else. My house will be wood. That's it. Nothing else.
Ezad Hashem, ask Blue Sky to set you up. Ezad Hashem. Now, what about the pot cover? Do I have to take the pot cover to the mikveh? Stainless steel and or glass or both. Does
yes.
the pot cover have to go to the mikveh?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's used in the process necessary of cooking.
Are you saying it's a chumrah? Is it a din? What is this? Is a bracha on this? Is it making food edible, the pot cover? Is it touching the food? What's the deal?
Of course, it is making food edible.
I think it's making it edible also.
Making it edible, fine.
But you want to say a bracha? It's blue bracha.
Saying blue bracha.
But why blue bracha?
Because the actual it's actually steaming the food. It's using the process of cooking the food.
Steam. Steam is touching the pot cover.
Right.
The Pri Chadash says bracha. Steam touches the pot cover.
We don't hold that.
Ben Ishchai paskins that way.
Rabbi?
I think so, yeah. Ben Ishchai says it. What does Ravadi say? My notes, nothing. He didn't complain of Ravadi.
Glass pot cover with like metal.
Yeah, take it to the mikveh. Take it to the mikveh. Glass, you say a berachah.
Well, that is
yeah.
the mikveh, but whether you say a berachah.
Yeah, I think the Ben Ishchai says with the berachah. Ravadi, my notes, Ravadi didn't scream at him, so it must be okay.
Wow.
Right?
Okay, how about the drawer in the fridge?
Whoa, relax. We're getting there. Habibi, that was the picture of the drawer, of the fridge that I sent. That's good, we're getting
plastic.
There.
They're all plastic.
Oh, what if you have a glass one?
Glass?
What if you have a glass one?
Awesome.
What if it's glass? What if it's glass? It's good.
Plastic doesn't need it.
Plastic doesn't need it. That already is the easy... Yeah. Everything's made of plastic. My apartment in Washington Heights does not have glass drawers in the refrigerator. They're not paying that much money. I don't know. They were talking about it.
It's too heavy.
They talk about it. I don't know.
The food goes directly on that anyway.
Yeah, let's say...
You your lemons and your cucumbers.
Let's say you...
But if the cutting board needs to be toveled...
Right. So is the drawer going to be used in food prep?
Cutting board is.
It's going to make it edible.
Cutting board's all plastic. Or
there's a different svara to be mechayev. We'll get there, but Zadish, I was going to save the fridge for later. So let's keep going for now. Just the pot covers, the pot and its lid. You say one bracha or two bracha? You say al tividat kelim or al tividat keli for the pot cover and its lid. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a machloket of Ovadia and of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Rabbi Yashar both say Al Tivilat Kili. It's one kli. It's Ikar and Tafel.
Because they're used for the same thing.
Yeah, and it's also really Ikar and Tafel. The Ikar is the pot and the Tafel is the cover. So it has to go to the mikveh. But also Ovadia says no. It's two kelim, chaya bitvila. Fine. So
you can also mix and match covers of pots.
Right.
I do that also,
right.
And it would be kelim because you could be using two different things.
Ah, so you think maybe that's really independent once you mix and match. Nobody talks about that, but it's a good ha'ar. It's a good ha'ar. I don't think anybody talks about that.
You can also make food without necessarily using the cover of the pot.
Right,
if it
right.
It doesn't mean that I mismatch the covers. I just take whatever I see.
As long as it's not basar v'chalav, you're okay. You're okay. The point you're making, Ariel, is also very good. It depends. If the pot cover will help you in the cooking process, and it's chayav anyway, for helping or for touching the steam. What if it's not going to help at all? It's just protective. Such as if you have an oven and you want to put like a nice like metal like half circle, half so thing on top of it. So that the Rama says is patur, and the Star K says a cake plate that you're going to serve cake with. It's made of metal or glass. Is chayav. But the cover you put on top of it, it's patur. It's not helping, it's not touching, nothing. Patur. And even if it touches sometimes, you move around the cake and whatever and it touches the cover. So what? Patur. Rov tashmisho. Rov doesn't require. Now, let's get into the bread knives. We might have to end with this, Bezat Hashem for Arvid. And maybe next time we'll finish off the examples, Bezat Hashem. The bread knives is a great question. There was a great rabbi who lived in Salonika in Greece. Greece was such a mecca, l'havdil ben ha-tameh v'ben ha-tahor, such a mecca of Torah. I don't want to say the word Yerushalayim, because there's only one Yerushalayim. Mecca is there are many meccas. So it's such a mecca of Torah in Salonika. There's so much money, so much Torah learning. So many Sfarim were printed. So many great Rabbanim came out of Salonika in Greece. So the Beit David was one of the great rabbis in Greece, in Salonika, and he writes how a bread knife that's used to cut bread. Fine. Requires tivila. And he says that's pashut, and that's the minhag. The Chida quotes this and doesn't quote anybody who disagrees. The Zivchei Tzedek, Ben Ishchai, all agree, bread knife, tivila, with a beracha. What does that mean?
Why wouldn't it?
Well, can you eat the bread?
Can you eat the bread?
This is where we're going back to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Right. Can you eat the bread without the toast? Of course you can eat the bread without toasting it. Can you eat bread without slicing it?
But you can use that knife for other things also.
Oh, so... Mimanav shach v'ashkenazim chaya. The question is beracha. Right? Because you could use it for other things also.
Why can't you eat bread without slicing it?
You... If it's really hard, sometimes. Times of Chazal, bread was really hard. That's why they say you have to make the cut. Ashkenazim always make a little cut. Like Zecher, back in the day when bread was very hard. So if you... When I was in Shalavim, it was like really terrible. You had to tear it like for a while after Hamiltzi to eat it. So like there is sometimes bread is so thick that you need a knife. But let's say you're talking about a bread knife for bread that's not so thick. A bread slicer.
Biting into it won't do it.
You could also bite into it, exactly.
Like bitten into frozen bread before and after a good yank it broke off.
Right. So then is that a tikkun gadol or tikkun katan? So it's a tikkun katan, and still the Beit David says chayav mitvila bivracha. What does that say? Rav Moshe Feinstein. Bivracha with the beracha. With the beracha. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, the toaster is also a tikkun katan. Hayav with the beracha, according to the Beit David, basically. And that's what Hora Berura says. We are therefore machmir on not... This is Hora Berura from Kisei Rachamim, the Yoredeya Sefer that they put out. It's very helpful for just summarizing the idea sometimes. Said, therefore, we're machmir on non-essential tikkunim that further make the bread edible. Are also chayav etzvila from this Beit David about how much do we call it about bread knives. Couple more points, unless there's a question. Yeah, okay. Couple more points. Vegetable peelers. You're peeling your potatoes, your sweet potatoes, are inedible without at that point, right? Peeling an apple. Okay, I hear that. That's chayav. But was tikkun katan though? Huh? Okay. So Rebelsi says, based on the shach, vegetable peelers. Beracha. No beracha for vegetable peelers, says Rebelsky. I have in my notes somewhere else though then. What? One second. For vegetable peelers, since it's not... If it is edible though, at that point, then you would require beracha. Rebelsky says, if it's not edible at that point, still, based on the shach we said before, it could be used for other things, or based on the taz that's along the way, you have to tefillah without a beracha. What about a food dicer? A food slicer, like the picture of the onion thingy that you smack it down and it slices the onion for you.
A chopper,
there we go. Or a spice grinder. It's very simple. You put in raw foods that are edible already, and you put in foods that are inedible already, and they both go through. So the ones that are already edible will be mechayev, the kli, in tevilah. Because it's not at an inedible stage, therefore it'll be chayev. A skinning knife, the shears. Right? And then we have to pause here because we have to go to Arvit. If we have a minion, hopefully. The skinning knife, shears, is a slight machloket, but it seems like everyone agrees with Azman Ezeh. Parter min ha-tfilah. We'll have to continue B'ezah Hashem with this next time. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen v'yamen. Chazak baruch guys. Thank you. Just as a little ha'ara, I made a mistake. The Taz does not say that anything that's necessary in the process. The Taz thinks that the Ramah is machmir by sakin shel shechita, and mekel by barzelim, by these metal sheets. He's not actually mekel by these metal sheets. He means that the metal sheets are also pater meikar hedin, just like the shechita knife, but one should also be machmir and mimatvil those as well. Which is what the Taz basically says means, that anything that's along the way, one should be machmir for.